However, she did have the best images in existence of the possible structure of DNA, achieved by means of X-ray crystallography, the technique perfected by Linus Pauling. Crystallography had been used successfully to map atoms in crystals, hence crystallography, but DNA molecules were a much more finicky proposition. Only Franklin was managing to get good results from the process, but to Wilkin's perennial exasperation, she refused to share her findings. If Franklin was not warmly forthcoming with her findings, she cannot be altogether blamed. Female academics at King's in the 1950s were treated with a formalized disdain that dazzles modern sensibilities, actually any sensibilities. However senior or accomplished, they were not allowed into the college's senior common room, but instead had to take their meals in a more utilitarian chamber that even Watson conceded was dingily pokey. On top of this, she was being constantly pressed, at times actively harassed, to share her results with a trio of men whose desperation to get a peek at them was seldom matched by more engaging qualities like respect. I'm afraid we always used to adopt, let's say, a patronizing attitude toward her, Crick later recalled. Two of these men were from a competing institution, and the third was more or less openly siding with them. It should hardly come as a surprise that she kept her results locked away. That Wilkins and Franklin did not get along was a fact that Watson and Crick seemed to have exploited to their benefit. Although Crick and Watson were trespassing rather ashamedly on Wilkins's territory, it was with them that he increasingly sided, not altogether surprisingly, since Franklin herself was beginning to act in a decidedly queer way. Although her results showed that DNA definitely was helical in shape, she insisted to all that it was not. To Wilkins's presumed dismay and embarrassment, in the summer of 1952 she posted a mock notice around the King's Physics Department that, "It is with great regret that we have to announce the death, on Friday the 18th of July 1952, of DNA Helix. It is hoped that Dr. M. H. F. Wilkins will speak in memory of the late Helix." The outcome of all this was that in January 1953, Wilkins showed Watson Franklin's images, apparently without her knowledge or consent. It would be an understatement to call it a significant help. Years later, Watson conceded that it was the key event. It mobilized us. Armed with the knowledge of the DNA molecule's basic shape and some important elements of its dimensions, Watson and Crick redoubled their efforts. Everything now seemed to go their way. At one point, Pauling was en route to a conference in England at which he would in all likelihood have met with Wilkins and learned enough to correct the misconceptions that had put him on the wrong line of inquiry, but this was the McCarthy era, and Pauling found himself detained at Idlewild Airport in New York, his passport confiscated on the grounds that he was too liberal of temperament to be allowed to travel abroad. Crick and Watson also had the no less convenient good fortune that Pauling's son was working at the Cavendish and innocently kept them abreast of any news of developments and setbacks at home.